The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I appreciate you. I appreciate the man of God and everybody tonight. Today is day 3 in this special prayer banquet. And tonight is settlement and satisfaction via divine guidance. God's desire is to settle us and to ensure that we are satisfied every point of our life. Lacking nothing, wanting nothing, deficient of nothing, because his desire is to give us everything. But that can only be possible if we submit ourselves to his guidance. Shout hallelujah. God has given man a tremendous power. No creature in this earth that has the power that God has invested in man. God has given man power, and he has made us a free will. He has made us a free will agent. And that means that we can decide on our own to do or not to do some certain things. However, even though we have the power to do some things, there are some things that we cannot do without him. There are many things that man can do. Man has been playing on natures, and there are different inventions. Man has played with imagination and bring out something from the realm of imagination to the realm of the physical. I was watching a tech news, and Google came out with a product, very fantastic product. It's a speaker, and you can connect everything with your phone, your everything, your television, everything. Only what you need is you just speak, just talk as if you are talking to a human being, and everything will start operating. And you'll be hearing. And they have another thing that if I speak to you, if you are speaking Spanish or French or any language, and I'm speaking to you in English language, you will be hearing that thing will automatically interpret it to you in the language you understand. That is what human beings can do. But there are some certain things that are peculiar. There are some steps that are difficult for us to take without God's guidance if we ever want to be satisfied in life. And if you want to end well, we need God. Tell your friend, you need God guidance. Say it again. Say, you need God guidance. In Joel chapter 3. In Joel chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, there is something that the prophet of God says that is very, very, very important. Sometimes in our life, we find ourselves at a point where we don't know what to do. We begin to ask ourselves, what should I do? What steps should I take? Where should I turn? In Joel chapter 3, in verse 13. In verse 13, I'll say, can I get KJV, please? KJV. Thank you. Say, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come. Can you see the word? He said, come. Get you drunk. For the press is full. Look at the opportunity. He said, come, I'm inviting you. There is abundance. The press is full. The fat overflow. For their wickedness is great. Now look at the next verse. Verse 14. The Bible said that multitudes. Now, this is emphasis. Multitude alone is multitude. But the Bible had heads to hit. That's to tell you there are many. And he repeated it again. He said, multitude in the valley of decision. There are many valleys in life. David talked about the valley of the shadow of death. That is a place of torment, a place of terror, of fear. But here is the valley of decision. A valley of decision is where you know you find yourself in a junction where you know not what to do. You are there, you are confused. It's a place of confusion. It's a place where there are many options, things to choose, many things, and you want to choose the best. These people are there. So, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's typical in the valley of decision. In other words, God is present. Even when you are confused, you don't know what to do. You are looking at it, should I go into this career? You are looking at it, okay, should I study this course? You are looking at it, oh, where will I go? Oh, how will I get this? Oh, should I go to this place? God is saying to you, hey, I'm right there. If only you can submit to me, I'm in that valley with you to direct you, to guide you step by step into the place that I propose to you. And that is why in Psalm 32 verse 8, the Bible said that, I said, I will guide you. He said, I will teach you, I will guide you. And not only will I do that, I will hold you with my hand. That's to tell us that God has committed. And this is not a word, we are just saying it because we have seen it in the Bible and even in our present age. The people that God has led, people that God has guided. Take a man called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. If you read from verse 1 to 4, the Bible tells us that God appeared to Abraham and he told him, I want to make you great. He said, go to a land that I will show you. Perhaps Abraham desires to be great. But what we heard is that God appeared to him and said, I'm sending you to an unknown land. Just move. And the man moved. And that is why we are still talking about Daniel today. I pray that very soon we'll be talking about your success in the name of Jesus. I said we'll be talking about your success in the name of Jesus. Also in Isaiah chapter 30, from verse 21, the Bible says that even you are caught on a junction where you don't know where to go, the Bible says that you will hear a voice behind you that will say, this is the way. This is the way that you should go. Ask your friend, say, are you ready to follow the leading of God? Because God is ready to lead you. However, to be led by God, I tell you, if God led you, if you are guided by God, your settlement is sure. Abraham was settled because God guided him. Isaac was settled because God guided him. David, there's this city of David till now. Why? Because God guided him. Business titan, those who understand the principle of the kingdom and they live for the kingdom in business world, God guided them. I bought a book recently. The title of that book is The Book That Transformed Nations. It's talking about the power of the Bible, and the author mentioned many nations that are founded on the word of God. I was dazed by what I read. Talk of China, Japan, talk of Netherlands, and the people that God used, some of them are a farmer who suddenly become a great man. And they invited him to come and be the prime minister. He ensured that the nation is founded on the word of God. And they are enjoying God's prosperity. What happened? He had decided to be guided by God. He said, God, I want you to guide me in the operation of this nation. And God did it. Whether you want to, whatever business you want to do, whatever ventures you want to venture into, seek God's guidance. Because lack of God guidance can bring headache, it can bring frustrations, it can bring dilapidation, and it can bring a total collapse. Let me show you an example of two people. Let's make a contrast of two people. A man called Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, and a man called Elimelech in Ruth chapter 1. In verse 1 of their life, they find themselves in famine. In verse 1 of the life of Isaac, there was a famine in the land. In verse 1 of the life of Elimelech, there was a famine in the land. Two of them had to make a decision. So their decision is similar. Isaac wanted to go to another nation. Also, Elimelech decided to go into another nation. And that is the verse 2 of their life. In verse 3 of the life of Isaac, the Bible says that God guided him. But in verse 3, the man began to prosper. But in verse 3 of the life of Elimelech, the man died. Why? Because he omitted verse 2 of his life, which is to seek the face of God for direction. To seek the face. Two of them find themselves in the same situation. They find themselves, there is no peculiarity in their conditions. So, what makes the difference is divine guidance. What will bring about God's glory in your life is seeking the face of God for His guidance and for His direction. However, if seeking God or getting God guidance is what we need, if we don't want to miss it in life, if we want settlement and satisfaction in all areas of our life, whether physically, maritally, spiritually, academically, any area, there are some conditions that must be met. And very quickly, I'm going to talk about those conditions. Number one condition is a desire for guidance. If you want to end well, if you want to enjoy the best on God, if you want to enjoy what God has for you, if you want to enjoy the package that God has for you, if you don't want to bite your finger at the long run, if you don't want to waste your investment, if you don't want to waste your energy, if you don't want to waste your strength, ladies and gentlemen, you must have a deep desire to be led. Not your desire, but a deep desire. Deep desire. A deep desire. Deep desire. Say, God, I can't take this step on my own. Lord, I refuse to walk by default. Lord, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me to the place there are limitations to what you can do. There are limitations to what you can see. I mean, physically speaking now, there are some things you don't know. There are things that is beyond your reasoning. There are things that, human calculation, all human calculations and permutations can work, but sometimes they fail. But if you want to take major decisions, for example, maybe going to relocating now, or marriage, or even studying, even a house that you will stay, a house, not the house you built yourself, but you want to, there are some houses that stepping there can bring a cause. Because you don't know what is it's underground. Except if you are a child of God, God's power can break those things. Shout hallelujah. So that is why you need you just have to take major steps. You just have to seek God and a desire. And that is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just partially, not oh God, you don't answer me. Maybe, oh God, you don't answer me on time. I don't want to miss this opportunity. He said, trust Him with all your heart. You know that God, if you like, do it. If you don't like, do it, I will do my own. No. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He now said, in all your ways, not just, not some, but in all your ways, in all your ways, he said, acknowledging. In other words, let it be the first you will consult, and let it be the last you will consult. You are not going to one person somewhere for who can tell you what to do. So in all your ways, he said, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. And the Bible says that He shall do what? Direct your path. Wow. You see, because of the little knowledge I have in computer and technology, and I sometimes try to understand God, you know, with psychology. And I discover that, you see, this world is configured by God. God is a psychologist. I've discovered he's a scientist and a psychology. Time will not permit you. I'll show you in the book of Genesis. Okay? Now, because everything that is happening now, there are one of the things that God has disseminated a long time ago. Now, what am I trying to say? If you are, for example, all of us are familiar with Microsoft Word. When you are typing in Microsoft Word, it has been configured. Now, when you press enter, your cursor will come down and you will enter into another paragraph. It has been configured. Even if a one-year-old baby did it, it will work. Yes or yes. Even if a novice who has never seen computer in his whole life comes and press it will work. Yes or yes. The same thing happened. Bible says, if you trust the Lord with all your heart, if you seek Him, if you acknowledge Him, the Bible says automatically, you press enter. So your cursor will go into the right direction. Shout hallelujah. So you must have desire to see God. A desire to see. And when I say desire, not mental desire, ladies and gentlemen, it is from the heart, inside, and something must be done. Look at a man called David in Psalm 63, verse 1. I like that verse of the scripture. Can we get it? Psalm 63, verse 1. Look at it. It says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Yearly will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee." In other words, I desire for direction. And what happened? It said, "My flesh longeth for thee in dry and thirsty land where no water." Because of the desire, this man has to do something with his body. And that is why fasting and prayer is important when you are seeking God for guidance. You do not say, "Oh God, I'm trusting you to guide me." And you do nothing. You are eating, you are you watch film, you watch movies, you go to shopping, I know God will be directing. It won't work. Something must affect your body. If you desire, if your soul longer for it, your flesh will feel it. Your flesh will feel it. Everything. And that is what is repeated in Psalm 84 verse 2. In Psalm 84 verse 2, David also said the same thing. He also said the same thing. That I longed my soul. Said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." That is a deep desire for God. So that is the number one condition. A desire, strong desire to be led. Never take any decision by default. Strong desire that will prepare you to take steps. And I pray that God will assist us in the name of Jesus. Number two is humility. Psalm 25, verse 9. Humility. To be guided by God, we need to be humble. The Bible says that Psalm 9, verse 9. The Bible said, "The meek will he teach his way." The meek will he guide in judgment. That judgment means decision. Which one is right and which one is wrong? So the meek, that meek means humility, the humble man. The Bible says that he is the one that he will guide. And the meek will he teach his way. So if you are a humble person, you open up yourself for God's guidance. But if you are a proud man, the distance is wide. God can easily guide you if you are humble. And that is why we must walk in humility. Look at a case of a man called Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14. You know, if you read that story very well, take time to read that story very well. Many things happen in that place. Syrian actually went to Samaria and they fought them and they packed all the precious things and the people from the city to their own land. And they oppressed them. They oppressed the people of Israel for a very long time because they have power over them. And they've been ruling them. But Bible tell us in verse 1 that this man is a leprous. He's an army. He is the chief of the army staff. But he has one boat. He was a leprous. He was a leper. The spirit of leprosy entered into him. I wonder how that kind of a man can still fight war and become the commander-in-chief of the army of Syria, even with leprosy. All right. Now, among those they took away from the people of Israel is a young lady. The Bible calls her a little maid. And she's walking with her wife. She's the maid of her wife. And then one day, that lady now spoke to his wife. He said, "Ma, I wish that my Lord can go to Israel. If he can go to Israel and see for a man of God there, he will be healed." And the woman told his husband, "Said, my maid, this is what he told me." And because the man, you know, have the spirit of humility, he accepted it. And he went and told the king of Syria, "Say, my wife's maid, this is what he told me. But I can't go there because we just fought them. So the man asked, this is what I'm going to do. Then he wrote a letter and sent it to the king of Samaria. Say, this, can we get this thing done? I'm sending this man so you to heal him because he's valuable. He's a man of honor. He's a man of vigor. He's a man of power. He's a warrior. I can't lose him like this. I want him well. And when the king of Israel got the letter, the Bible said the man was angry. And he was angry and said, This is you just fought me, you just destroyed everything in this nation, and now you are writing me another letter. This is another trick to come and attack me. Praise the Lord. And I was angry that, why did I become this weak? That one king somewhere is strengthening me and molesting me. Then he tore his clothes. When he tore his clothes, the news got to Prophet Elijah, and Elijah got it. And I said, okay, I think this is a miracle that they will know that there is going in Israel. And I said, send for him, let him come. And the man came. The Bible tells us that he came with people with him and with gifts. And before he saw the man, the prophet sent another messenger to him. I said, tell him to go and wash. And the man was angry. Is there no water in my land? There are better water than the land of Israel. Can you see? He's making mockery of the land. Shout hallelujah. He's making mockery of them. There's another better water. He mentioned many waters that are very, very hooky. So why will I go on? You know, because they have seen the land as, you know, this one, they are little one. They are inferior. Shout hallelujah. I don't know why the man of God decided not to see him. Maybe the man is angry or not. But he just said, I want to prove to you that there is God in this land. All your enemy shall be frustrated in the name of Jesus. The Lord will prove himself to them in the name of Jesus. And you know what? One of the servants also came and said, sir, if this man tells you to bring money, what would you have given him? He just go and bath. And he go and bath. And the man hearkened to the voice of... Now, two servants of his advised him. God spoke through them. And he received it. Then his miracle came. If you want to be guided, ladies and gentlemen, we God have to be humble and be attentive to everything that God has to say with us. There are two things that I learned in the life of this man. Number one is that God can use any vessel or any medium to speak to you or to guide you. And we know that, Solomon said, I walk by the feet of a slothful. He said, when I saw it, I observed wisdom. A little slumber, just by watching, just by observing, God spoke to him. Look at the horse that spoke. So God can speak through any medium and can use anybody. Look at Jethro when he spoke to Moses. And Bible said that God commanded it so. So God spoke through him. So we just have to, God, just know that God can use anybody or any vessel to speak to you. And it takes humility to listen to them and to respond. Then number two is that God can tell you to do something that is against logic. God can tell you to do something that is against logic. And I think this is the area where some Christians miss it. Hallelujah. This is the area where some Christians miss it because we have this. We want to know, we want to calculate it in our mind and look at it that, okay, when you had A to B, this is what you gave us. But see, God can tell you to do things that is against logic. I mean, how can you tell? How can a sea be parted right before the children of Israel without bridge? They were there, and Bible called, the man was crying to God and said, Moses, why are you calling to me? Tell the people to move, tell them to go forward. And they are looking at the water like this. Say, just go forward. And as they take the step of faith, the thing departed. Look at Peter. He saw Jesus walking on water. And I said, oh God, hey, everybody said, this is a ghost. And God, they were running. God said, Jesus said, no, it's Jesus. I am the one. Then Peter looked and said, oh, Jesus, are you the one? He said, yes. Tell me to come. I said, okay, Peter, come. And the man stepped on the water and began to walk. You see, just come. 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 That's the word. He said, come. And the man obeyed. And miracle happened. I tell you, very soon, your life will be an embodiment of miracle in the name of Jesus. Everything you are trusting God to do, everything that stands like a mountain before you. The Lord will break them down and make them low, and you will triumph over them in the name of Jesus. Humility is very, very important. Number two is obedience. Obedience. When God is guiding you, when God is telling you things to do, when God is telling you things, even if it's not your way of doing things, even if it's not your way of understanding it, even if you cannot comprehend it, even if you cannot get the full picture, brother and sister, obey, act, be ready to act on whatever it is that God spoke to you. In John chapter 2, we saw it there that Jesus was invited into a wedding party. And right there in the wedding party, the Bible made us to understand that wine got finished. And in verse 3, the mother told her, this is what happened. Jesus spoke in verse 4, and in verse 5, the mother went to her servant and told them, he said, hey, anything he tell you to do, do it. Anything he tells you to do, don't try to reason it out. Don't try to give excuse. Don't try to say, oh God, what of this? What if this happened? Don't try to argue. Don't try to conceive it and say, okay, let me think about it. Mm-mm. Anything he tells you to do, just do it. And he spoke to them. They acted on it in obedience, and their miracle happened. Very soon, your miracle will happen in the name of Jesus. You know, I heard a testimony of a sister, very young sister in her 30s, early 30s. She said she was driving on the street of Lagos, and as he was driving in Ikoyi, so God told him to see a building. He said, she looked at the building, and she drove off. Then the second day in church, God spoke to her. Said, that building, look at it again. So as he was going back home, what will I look at? That building. And as she looked at it, she drove past the building. And God spoke to him. I said, look at it. I didn't say stare at it. Look at it. So she turns back and says, she parks and look at the building. Then I said, okay. And then she alighted from her vehicle, check it out, look at it, everything. And she discovered that they wanted to sell the building. And when she saw for sale, she now look at it. Wow. Oh, they even wanted to sell this building. And instantly God spoke to him and said, buy it. And so she put a call to the people that wanted to sell the property, and they told her, okay, come, can you come to the next morning and talk? I said, God, why will I buy this? I don't need this property. And when they negotiated, they said the money is 50 million to buy the property, and she said that she has just about 20 million, no money. And I said, God, I don't have that money. God said, I said, buy it. Praise the Lord. I said, buy it. So what did she do? She tried, and she raised the money, and she bought the property. She acted in obedience. 2 weeks after, First Bank wanted to buy the building, and they told her that, a lady has bought it. So they now come to her and say, we want to buy this building. I said, you want to buy it? I just bought it. And God told me, sell it. Okay. So I said, all right, how much do you want to sell it? And do you know that she bought the property at the rate of 50 million, and she sold the property at the rate of 200 million in a space of 2 weeks. That is settlement and satisfaction. Come on, shout hallelujah! In a space of 2 weeks, and he said 200 million. She said, after they bought the property, they were thanking her. Thank you. Say thank you. But you know what happened day after? I love it. This is what happened day after. The church, the ministry where she belonged, they are doing a church project, and that project was about to be completed, and they have a conference coming in a couple of months, maybe two, and they needed money to complete it. You know what she did? She removed her tithe from that money. She paid her tithe, and she removed her 50 million, and she took the remaining money to church. I said, I understood why God told me to buy this property so that we can finish the project. When I hear that testimony, I was moved to tears. Say, this is what people should do. She understand God. God allowed her to buy that building, and she propelled a corporation that has more than enough money to complete its project, to chase after her and to buy that property. I pray that God will open a channel of miracle to you in the name of Jesus. Obedience is very, very important if you want to be guided by God. The next one is a spirituality. If you want to be guided by God, we have to be spiritual. We have to be spiritually awakened. We have to be spiritually aware of what is going on around us and what is going on, what God is saying around us, how God is speaking to us, the directions to which God wants us to move. And we have to be conscious of what God is doing, and we have to be alert in the spirit. Our spiritual frequency is to be tuned to heaven so that we can pick signal. And that is what happened in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 9. The Bible says that God wanted to, Jesus wanted to speak to the church. And then the man tell us in verse 10 that he was at the highland of Patmos. And I said, I was in the spirit in the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord. But I was in the spirit. And he heard the voice that told him, he said, John. You see, I was in the spirit on the day of the Lord. And here behind me in his strong voice, As of a trumpet, the next one. The next verse. Okay? Now, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Jesus speaking. And what thou seest. I want to take note of this. Anything you see, okay, what thou seest, what will you do with it? Write in a book. Everything you see, he said, write it in a book. As God is speaking to you, when you are spiritually aware and alert, say, write it in a book. Why? Because you can forget it. There is a limit to which what mind can retain. There is a limit to information where the mind can retain. As a matter of fact, psychology told us that after about 25 new information, your mind is shut down. Your mind is shut down. You just have to refresh again so that you can reboot. Okay? So God said, "What? I don't want you to miss what I'm telling you. So write it down." And that is why we are still reading the book of Revelation today. But that comes because the man was alert spiritually. He was spiritual to everything that is happening around him. I pray that never will you grow down spiritually in the name of Jesus. And whenever God speaks to you, you will get it straight in the name of Jesus. Finally, number 5 is prayer. To get God guidance, we got to pray. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray. Ought always. Men supposed to pray. Men supposed to pray. Men supposed to pray. Men supposed to pray. Just like ears is supposed to hear. Mouth is supposed to speak. Nose is supposed to breathe. Man is supposed to pray. Men ought always to pray. And Matthew 7 verse 7, that says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Oh, what a privilege to receive from God. Say, ask not and it may. Not maybe, he said, and it shall be given. Ask God in prayers. If you are desire, I'm telling you, for some of, let me speak to you, some of you that you are going for service. I don't know if you have been praying. Good. If you have been praying, that's good. Because it's almost, it's not late anyway. When I was enter about 2 years before my final year in school, I've been praying desperately for where I'll be posted to. The question is not maybe I will graduate. The question is where will I be posted to? I prayed desperately. And the last year, I know exactly where God wants me to go. I declare boldly to my friend. I say, "Well, I know where I'm going now. God has spoken to me. Say, this is where I'm. Where, this is where He's taking me to. This is where He's taking me to." So I can pray, and after I know what God. When I received my call letter, I was so happy because I know, so God, you are this wonderful. So my prayer was that, God, what do you want me to do? What will you want me to do? And I appreciate God. I give God the glory for the privilege. My service, I live like a missionary. And I'm so happy. So happy. So happy. Praise the Lord. You can start telling God. You can start asking God now. You can start asking God. You can start asking God. God, where exactly are you taking me to? Where will I go? Not where you want to go. Not where you want to go. But where? There is a place that God has destined for you. There is a business. He has destined, you know. Whilst having, all I do was just to read. And all my money, of course, ministry must continue. And all the money that I've gotten, I'm just, what will I do? So I use the money, most of the money, the change I need, buy books. By the time I left that place, I have a whole traveling bag, two of them filled with books. Some of my friends were making jest of me. Hey, professor. And some of them bought clothes. Some of them bought shoes. Some of them bought iPad. They bought laptop. They bought many things. In fact, some of them even say, I want to start business. And they bought clothes to sell. Do you know what? In this period of few years, everything disappears. On Sunday, I pick one of the book and I open it. I saw it because most time when I buy books, I will write dates, the year and the date that I bought it and the amount. So one of them, I bought it 500 naira. Before then, I visited where I used to buy books. So I saw a book there. I wanted to buy the book. And when I says like I have this book, So I stopped it and I went back home to check. When I checked, I saw that I have the book. I bought it in 2011. I bought it at the rate of 500 naira. And that book now is sold at the rate of 1,200 naira. 1,200 naira. I bought it 500 naira, but they wanted to sell it 1,000. And look at it. When I sell the book, I say, wow! So I've made investment. Even if I want to sell this book now, I will make money. Praise the Lord. You see, that tells us, I shared that story to tell you that God can tell you what you can use your money to do. Those that wanted to buy, you know, that bought clothes to sell, in fact, there is a lady that has business before she entered, you know, she came for service, and all her money she pushed to that business. One day, fire burnt everything. Fire burnt everything one day. You will never misinvest in the name of Jesus. I said you will never be misdirected in the name of Jesus. You will never misinvest your resources in the name of Jesus. You will never misinvest your energy in the name of Jesus. As a girl, as a lady, no man will waste your year in the name of Jesus. As a man, no woman will waste your money in the name of Jesus. I said no woman will waste your money in the name of Jesus. That's if you really wanted to. Hallelujah. But see, God is ready to guide you. If only we can be humble, we can desire. If only we are spiritual. If only we can seek God in prayer. And I pray that even as we pray, the Lord will answer our prayer in the name of Jesus.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.